Out in Virginia, in the countryside, you can find the story of a family business and a story of Alzheimer's disease. The company is DiBaggio Herbs. The greenhouse is on farming land within sight of the Blue Ridge Mountains. At Christmas time, the DiBaggios sell rosemary, lavender, and geraniums.
This is one of the great scents, the scented geraniums. And this is an apple-scented geranium.
Ooh,
can we
wow.
get that through there?
Sure. It was right on the microphone. That's lovely.
And lemon rose, attar of rose.
Tom DiBaggio, at 57 years old, has been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. It's estimated that 250,000 Alzheimer's cases are diagnosed every year. A very small percentage will be people between 30 and 60 years old. In the spring of 1974, Tom DiBaggio put a small table out in his driveway and sold tomato plants in styrofoam cups for 25 cents each. Some of those buyers have been coming back every spring and summer and Christmas since then. In a newsletter this fall, DiBaggio told his customers about his diagnosis and that he's keeping a journal of his experiences with Alzheimer's. We talked with the DiBaggios, Tom and his wife Joyce, his son Francesco, about the disease and the way the customers have been reacting.
I still talk. I still stand up on both feet. I still look the same. And maybe they go out of here and say, you know, it doesn't look like there's anything wrong with him. And of course, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Joyce, do you recall, was there any discussion about whether or not Tom should make this public in the newsletter?
No, not at all. It was his decision.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed to do that. And also, once he said, well, I have Alzheimer's, I mean, it just totally changed everything. They were very kind and hugged him. And
that's one of the great things about this. You can hug people that you never thought you could hug before.
Oh.
And they hug you back. And it's just changed the whole, in many ways, it's changed the whole relationship. There's an openness and a freedom that goes with this. When you open yourself up to other people and tell them your secrets.
Let me take you back to when you first began to suspect that there might be a problem. How far back can you date that?
It's probably not much more than a year. Maybe a year and a half. But I didn't recognize it at that point. And I'd stand at the cash register and I couldn't figure out what the person had. Well, they bring something up to me, a rosemary plant or something, but I had to know those things, know what plant it was in order to ring it up on the cash register. I couldn't look at it and name it. I had to look at the tag in it.
You knew it.
I would go to Francesco, or I'd go to Dottie or Joyce or somebody was there. I know what that is, but I can't. What's the name of that?
You could describe it. I would talk to him on the phone. He would describe, I don't know what this plant is, but it flowers this. It's got this. And that, without looking at it, he could describe it from memory, but couldn't put a name on it.
Joyce, what did you think during this difficult period of confusing plants and not being able to find the names for? Were you seeing anything at home? Any?
Oh, yes. He was much angrier and more frustrated when he tried to do things like taxes or any sort of form to fill out. It was a nightmare.
You thought perhaps it was stress?
I was hoping so. Because I knew, I had read, you know, that stress affects your memory and it's kind of permanent. But then he started taking the test. And unfortunately, the doctor, the neurologist we went to, did not have, say, a good bedside manner. He had taken the psychological testing, and we had not seen it yet. We went in, he gave it to us, and we had about a minute or so to look at it. It was about a 10-page report. I mean, the testing took a whole day to do. And he sat in his chair. He took the papers back. He sat in his chair, looked away from us, and he said, "Well, it's Alzheimer's. I'll give you some medicine." And I went berserk. I just said, "How do you know? Couldn't it be stress, you know?" And all he said was, "Well, I'm not going to give him the medicine if you're not in the program." So he refused to write the prescription.
Me,
because I questioned him.
I see. Not willing to go along with it.
That's right. But I would have had he explained it. We went back to the psychologist that gave him the test, and she was wonderful. She explained why, what it meant, various things, why it could not be stress. Because if it was stress, he would have had low scores on everything.
Any Tom, any doubt at all about the diagnosis at this point?
No doubt, no. I even have ways of checking how it's going.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm writing every day. And I look at the number of words that I can't remember. I know they're there. I know I used to know a word that described just this thing, but I don't know where it is now. I can't pull it up. Or I'll notice that... I'm sorry, I've lost it again. Ask me the question again.
Yes, any doubt about the diagnosis? You're talking about words. Do you mean just ordinary, everyday words?
Yes. One-syllable words at first, mainly one-syllable words.
One-syllable words?
Uh-huh.
For example?
Well, like wall.
Oh, I see.
What is that thing, you know?
Right.
That's the end of the room, or is this tall, or whatever. And sometimes, most of the time I can guess, but there are a lot of times I can't, and it's very frustrating for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm exercising my mind 4 to 5 hours a day, trying to keep it going, thinking about things. Mm-hmm. Trying to put things together, and in the hope that this will keep things going. That's what the doctor says. You know, keep doing something. But it's just stuttering a lot of times.
Do you feel like your mind is stuttering?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have all kinds of words for it. Stuttering is a polite one.
Hmm.
It's hard to describe the power of the mind to begin with, but when it begins to lose its juice, it's even more difficult. One of the awful things about it is that I know my outcome, unless something great comes along, but the people that I love don't have the benefit of having an outcome.
What do you mean?
They're going to have to live their lives after I'm dead. And I think that's going to be more difficult than dying.
Really? Why do you say that?
Well, when I die, I lose emotion. I lose everything. The people who are left with all the memories of me and what I went through. And I think that's very difficult to live with.
Joyce, have you thought about that? Have you?
All the time. I don't stop thinking.
Do you agree?
I can't imagine his feelings not being deeper than mine, because he's the one actually going through it. I think watching him is very difficult, but it's not like having the disease. And he could live 10 years, but he won't be himself at the end of it. Mm-hmm. He won't know me. He won't know anything. Mm-hmm. At the end, you can't even walk. You can't move. You can't talk.
Francesco, does it... your concern now, does it affect you on a regular basis? Is it tough to keep your spirits up? How do you...
I don't know about keeping my spirits up, but I do think about it a lot. And you know, I think I wonder if it's going to affect me.
Because it could be genetic?
It could be. Well, anytime I forget something, I think, you know, this is it.
How old are you, Francesca?
35.
See, we're just getting started with the process that's going to happen.
In any part of the day, can you forget that you have Alzheimer's now?
No. It's the only thing I haven't been able to forget. I guess it's because part of my life is excavating my mind, and I'm conscious of that. I'm conscious of Alzheimer's being there. And in fact, I'm working it like a vein of gold to try and get something out of it for humanity. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to do that or not.
Have you had this thought at all about the greenhouse and the herbs? It's hard to imagine a better place for you to be working now than a greenhouse that you've spent more than 20 years helping to create and working with green plants and sunlight. And
do you know how many diseases are floating in the air in a greenhouse? And it's a breeding ground. You were just in a greenhouse. It's damp. Where do germs like they like these damp, warm places. I mean, it's an ideal place to get sick.
I thought you were going to say something metaphysical about the healing power of herbs and.
No. No. I think people would like to think that if you hung around a greenhouse full of herbs, that you'd be well, sane, and have a great sex life. I don't think there's any healing power in a greenhouse.
Thank you all very much for talking with us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Tom DiBaggio, his son Francesco, his wife Joyce, talking with us at DiBaggio Herbs in Chantilly, Virginia.
This is NPR's All Things Considered.